How do we get from a French left-back who loves this game to a mercurial, enigmatic Portuguese talent who started his career with Sporting Lisbon?
Hello and welcome to this week's Wikipedia Wanderers podcast with myself, Josh, and Dave, who loves the word enigmatic.
Three attempts, I think, that took in that intro. Yes, unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Lots of mention of the word egg. Not necessarily relevant. Do you like eggs?
I do like eggs, yeah. I do like eggs. I'll tell you who doesn't like eggs. Who? Patrice Evra.
Does he not?
He's allergic to them.
Oh, my goodness.
On his Wikipedia page. You didn't know that, did you?
No.
What a link in. And weirdly, it was found on his medical for Juventus, which was at the end of his career. We'll get on to him later in a bit more detail. But how strange. Yeah.
That is strange. Just quickly then, favourite egg type?
No, it depends on the situation. I love an avocado omelet. I love scrambled. I love fried. Probably poached is my least.
Really? No, poached would be up there. Scrambled, no. I need yolk. I need runny yolk in there.
Yeah, you're
I
a runny
do
yolk.
Love egg mayo sandwiches, though. Egg mayo has got to be one of the greatest sandwich fillers known to man.
I was never a fan. I think as I've got into more adulthood, I've become a fan of an egg mayo sandwich, yeah. Do you have anything in with it, or is it just egg mayo?
Egg mayo, you know, salt and pepper. I mean, I'm not averse to Cress being in there, but...
Okay.
Yeah. I don't normally have a little pot of Cress growing out of... You know, I used to have them as growing yeah. up hair, didn't they?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah. So, right. Yeah, I'm a fan of eggs. You're a fan of eggs. Patrice Evra is not a fan of eggs. So,
there we go. That's the podcast done. So, we obviously cover lots of different things throughout the weeks, and we take actions. So, let's cover the actions that we've had outstanding since last week and before, and see how we're doing with them. So, last week we picked up Tribo West, and we had some gaps on his Wikipedia page, some stats gaps. Now, early career was gaps, and that was all played in Africa, and we thought maybe that would be too... unlikely would find anything. But there was a gap midway through his career where he played for Al Arabi in Qatar.
Yeah.
And there was a gap. And I thought, okay, we'll be able to solve that. I've had a look. I've looked at probably about 10 different sources to try and find stats. Nothing. Can't find any stats. I did, however, find a fact.
Okay. A fact. I love a fact.
Tribo West was in central defence. Gabriel Batistuta was playing up front that season.
Oh, what? That is that is amazing.
Yeah. Batistuta and West in the same side. Yeah.
Oh. Absolutely.
Normally only seen in a kind of world all-stars on Pro Evo, that kind of
Yeah, it's either in Champ Manager 0102 when you're the manager, or it's in an MLS like all-stars game, thing. But okay, interesting. Are you drawing a line under that action?
Do you know what? I might periodically check, you know, just have a little nosy, see if I can find anything, but I don't think we're going to make any further progress on that. So it's closed with a little addendum. With it, next one wasn't really an action. It's more of for information. Did Heskey and Tribo West ever play in the same on the same pitch together? Because they missed each other in the World Cup 2002.
Yeah.
But they did take the pitch together in the Premier League 2001, Liverpool versus Derby in a 1-1 draw.
Did they both score? That would be a nice little.
They didn't. Neither scored. Oh. No, I think it was Dion Burton.
Oh.
And the Liverpool scorer eludes me. Can't remember.
Okay, fair enough. But good to know they have actually set foot on the same pitch as each other. That's nice.
Yeah. We then hark back to episode 7. We had a couple of outstanding issues. Golden Watch, do you remember Golden Watch?
I remember the Golden Watch, yeah.
Golden Watch, an award given to Norwegian international players who play more than 25 caps.
Yeah.
Now, it wasn't mentioned in the text on the Wikipedia page, so I thought, well, I'll add that. But in closer inspection, it's mentioned down below. You know there's a section where you click on, like, expand show and it has, like, Norwegian football?
Yeah.
It's there under culture, okay? There's a little section on culture. There's Golden Watch and Flow Pass.
Now, you put that in our little way we organise all of our notes, so I went and checked it out to see what it was. That is really interesting. I didn't know that was a thing. Yeah.
So, as in Tor André Flo, the Flow Pass. Check that out. We're not going to go into it now, but... it's just a really rogue Wikipedia page, which is quite interesting. Now, Dave, I want you to talk about the next section, because you took this off my hands, and I checked it out, and you've done excellently. So talk through the next
section,
please.
Thank you. So, yes, we realised Josh had a bit too much on his plate. He was, you know, slacking, had to put an extra resource. We had to move some people around, get some jobs done, focus on where we needed it. So I took over the Return to Norway section for Morten Gams Pedersen. And I just put a little bit in there, basically based on his right-hand side stats column that we haven't come up with a name of yet because of the next action that still needs work. But yeah, I just went in there and I took his clubs, returned to Norway, put in a bit about Rosenberg, ended it with Atlas saying he's still playing, wearing the number 12 shirt. I can't remember what it is now.
Yes,
off the top of my head.
Correct, yeah.
But yeah, it was a nice little bit to write. And I actually went in to the Golden Watch page and edited on there because Morten Gams Pedersen wasn't in bold. And bold players are ones that are still playing.
So I made Pedersen bold.
I know. So yeah, we've done well there, but we obviously have the still main outstanding action of Mario Jardel.
Yeah, main. I'm not sure it's main. Okay. There's still a Mario Jardel action outstanding.
I mean,
but
how long is it like? Because, well, you know, our actions, I would say the actions are sort of like priority one action is the ones that are raised in the episode before. Like that episode, we go in and we try and make the changes. How long does that either stay there and it just falls out of the bottom and we forget about it completely because it's just priority completely drops? Or does it stay there too long and then just becomes priority one every single week? So someone has to go and find it.
Mario Jardel was never becoming priority one.
Okay, good. I'm glad we've agreed on that. Okay, good.
But now let's go into this week's show. We've touched on the first point of call. He can't eat eggs. Patrice Evra is your pick this week.
Yes, Patrice Evra. Outstanding left back. I think very, very good left back. Where it was described by Sir Alex Ferguson, one of the best left backs in Europe. I think his playing style, bit of his page on Wikipedia, describes him as like the best left back at the time. I think it is something like that, isn't it? I've not phrased that correctly. But there is some. It's a huge page, Josh. It's very wordy. It covers everything. I mean, it's a man that's had a big career, a successful career. A lot has happened in his career. But I'm not going to go into details about all of the page. There's just a couple of things that have jumped out at me when I was reading through it and going through it. So first off, born in Dakar, Senegalese capital. Senegalese birth nation is what we'll go with. His father was Guinean and his mother was Cape Verdean. So a real mix of nationalities in there. One of 24 children.
Sorry, what?
He was one of 24 children.
One more and you've got your full Premier League squad.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, so that jumped out with me.
Wow.
Yeah, one of 24.
Better jumped out the mother by the end of it.
And you can't be saying things like that. Moving on. So Josh is absolutely wetting himself his own joke here.
Sorry, that's crass.
his youth career is so like interesting. So Evra began his footballing career playing for hometown club CO Les Ulis. And after playing in the streets for years, I love that phrase, he was brought to the club by friend Tashumi Bahanga, who informed the club coach, "I bring you the new Romario." I mean, that's a bold statement from his mate.
Now, you were right, he was going to be a good player, but your position was slightly wrong. Imagine if you said, "I'm going to bring you the new insert
Carlos,
player.
The new Carlos."
Yeah, I'm not sure Carlos would have been in his pomp at that time, probably.
Yeah. Evra originally played football in the striker position and while training at Les Ulis underwent trials with professional clubs Rennes and Lyon. Following the conclusion of the evaluations, again, love that phrasing, Evra was rejected primarily due to his size. So he was always pretty diminutive, wasn't he, I'd say, Patrice
Evra.
Yeah,
absolutely, yeah.
It carries on. Following the conclusion of the evaluations, I hope we've done that bit. In 93, he joined amateur club CS Bretagne. Your French is better than mine. I can't say that. Based in a nearby town with a similar name, similar to his stints before. He went on trials with several clubs, Toulouse and PSG, the most notable. He signed for PSG, was converted into a winger, was trained with them, and then was released. By PSG.
I was going to say, there's left winger written all over Patrice Evra's career here.
Yeah.
You're starting up front and you're left-footed, you're definitely getting migrated over to a left winger, aren't you?
Oh, 100%, yeah. And I imagine he was quite quick as well, because he's always had pace when he was playing there. And then after, this is where it gets again, it just gets a little bit strange. After being released from PSG, he returned to Bretagne, I don't know how to say that, was invited by a friend to participate in an indoor five-a-side football tournament, where he was spotted by an Italian scout who offered him a trial with Torino. None of that makes sense. Like,
he's been released. Got a Thursday night game on the further side. Do you want to come and play?
Yeah.
We're missing a player. Do you want to go and goal?
We're missing a player. We're in this tournament. We've got a good chance of doing well. We just need one more player. Come along. Oh, there's an Italian scout for Torino. So he ended up actually training with the club and getting a contract in their youth team with Torino. And then it sort of bleeds into what we know. So like, there was a bit of time in Serie B, Serie A, and then Monaco, Man United, Juventus, West Ham, blah, blah,
yeah,
blah.
Yeah, I remember him joining in a January transfer window, it must be, because I think he had a bit of a tough time to start with.
He did, him and Vidic. Him and Vidic joined at the same time. And,
Wow.
Yeah, and they both had absolute shockers on their debut. I think Evra's debut was the Champions League, I think, a Champions League game, and he really, really suffered and admitted that he had underestimated what it meant to play for Man United in terms of like the attacking football and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it was very interesting, but they were terrible. Yeah, yeah. He had a fantastic career at Man United. He won, I think, 5 Premier Leagues. We'll look at his honours in a bit more detail in a minute, but it was very, very interesting. But I think something that jumped out at me was his French stint, France international appearances and tournaments and things like that, because you think about France, they had a lot of success around that time and he missed it all. He didn't win anything with France. He went for a whole international career, making a number of appearances, but didn't win anything. He came runner-up, which was his best, at the Euro 2016. But he played in 2008, 2012, 2016, and missed, and 2010 and 2014 World Cup. So he had all those international tournaments, but was in that era where France didn't win anything. They had all those coaches, and then was made captain under Deschamps, I think, was the one that made him captain. Maybe Domenech. Domenech made him captain. And then he stayed as captain, and then they had the player strike. Can you remember that, when they got knocked out?
I do, yeah.
And he lost his captaincy and got a 5-match ban after the player strike. He got a 5-match ban by the FA of France. And yeah, it was sort of the downhill. He returned to the squad, a pretty successful World Cup in 2014 under Deschamps when they reached the quarterfinal. But that was it. Yeah, one runner-up medal for France. And you think about all the wonderful players he would have played with. I found that very, very, very strange that it didn't happen. But yeah, overall, I think a really good left back. I mean, let's dive into his attributes and statistics and stuff like that, because I know that we like that. So as I said, Serie B and Serie A, he bounced around them in some loan moves from Torino, Monza in Serie B, Serie C1 as well, and then moved back to France to play for Nice in the French Division 2. Didn't score any goals, 5 appearances, 0 goals, 37 appearances, 1 goal. I'm looking at the total, by the way, down in the career statistics page. Then got a move to Monaco, where he actually won the cup with Monaco as well, and that's where he started to become a bit of a regular in Ligue 1 and a bit of a good, a consistent sort of Champions League performer with Monaco. As well in Europe, so 29 appearances in Europe during his time in Monaco, and then he joined Man United, where we know all the success he had there. Juventus, which is where he had his medical, and it was found out he was allergic to eggs, so which is always interesting. Did he win the Serie A at Juventus? Yeah, he did. Yeah, won 2 Serie A at Juventus, 2 Coppa Italias, and a Supercoppa as well. Moved to Marseille, got in a bit of an issue in Marseille. Can you remember that? There was a He kicked a fan,
a
I think.
A fan
was racist to him, and I think he kicked a fan. And then from there, moved to West Ham, 5 appearances for West Ham, and then called it a day. And now is prevalent on social media, shall we say?
Prevalent on social media, yeah. He's done some punditry work, hasn't he? He seems good value, I suppose.
Yeah.
If you want to take it quite a pinch of salt of what things he says, I think, maybe.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I mean, licked a chicken, I think that's what... Took him to licked a raw chicken on
chicken, yeah, which goes against everything I've been taught as a child.
Me as well. Chicken. Yeah, I think that's why everyone was so surprised by it, because everyone
all
I think
our work has been undone. Kids can be licking chicken left, right, and centre here. Come on, Patrice.
exactly. But I've got 2 questions for you, Josh. And the first one isn't actually about Patrice Evra. It's something I want to ask you about the podcast as a whole, because I want to know, when you now look at a player's page on Wikipedia, is there now a section that you go to first that has changed from when we first started this podcast 10 or so episodes ago?
I do like the style of play now.
Yeah.
I do like to read, because it's often a bit more subjective and a bit more opinion-based. They've pulled in sources, but it's you kind of I have to cite a lot of sources as well. If you look at the year's style of play section, they've written a big section. They've referenced like 5-6 different pieces. So it's kind of an amalgamation of thoughts. You go, okay, that gives an idea. So I do like a style of play now. I look back, if a player's got that, I'm like, oh.
I feel like the style of play section on every person I've looked at so far is overwhelmingly positive. It's unbelievable. It's always
I will intrigue you with my player later on, because it is a conjoined section. It has style of play and also another attribute.
Okay, all right. We'll get into that in a minute then. And we'll say, so my other question was, have you got a standout memory of Patrice Evra sort of playing or an event?
I do, you know.
What was that?
That was when I went to watch a game at White Hart Lane. It was Man United v Spurs, and I used to, me and my dad used to sit in same seats. It was a through where he worked, and we used to go up, you know, once, twice a season. And this point was, it was, you know, a couple of rows back, and just kind of within in the middle of a half. And so we used to see players warm up. I used to really enjoy going and watch players warm up, because you get to see, and it's not a game situation, you get to see all their technique, you know, fast passing routines, and go off and do a bit of solo training. And Patrice Evra's solo dribbling training, which really wowed me. He used to go up and down the flank and just kind of do these kind of mazy little dribbles, like, you know, step overs and crossovers and things like that. And I thought, and he'd show it in games sometimes, he'd dribble past someone. I thought, he really does try and work on it. He just, you know, it was really interesting to see how well he did and how technical he was. When he didn't always show it in games, it was flashes in games, but he did try working on it before a game, which I thought was fascinating.
Nice, that's cool. Yeah, I mean, I've got quite a few memories of him as a Man United fan, but I was very impressed with him. After the game, I can't remember what game it was. It was Man United West Ham, last game of the season. We won the league, but Dean Ashton scored an overhead kick against us at Old Trafford, and it was one of the best goals I've ever seen live. But after the game, we waited around with some other fans, and a few of the players came out and signed a few autographs. Patrice Evra was there for a good 45 minutes, maybe even an hour, signing autographs, like talking to people, signing shirts, books, match programs, things like that, before, you know, he drove in his car and went home. But I was like, that's really impressive. I think it's not really appreciated when you see players do it for that amount of time, because I know that a lot of them do it 5 or 10 minutes, they'll just sign whatever's in front of them and then walk off. But yeah, Patrice was there, and like, it's
lovely,
this persona of him coming across, you know, he loves the game, as he says on his social medias. I feel like it was that sort of came across to me, and I could really get on board with it, like, and I was there, and luckily I was one of the ones that got his autograph, so, which was very nice. He was one of the few players that on the match day program actually signed it on his picture, so it was quite good, quite a nice touch.
Good guy, Patrice.
Yeah. But anyway, there's not too much more, really. I think it is such a long page, we can't go into all of it. I hope it is absolutely correct, to be honest. An interesting fact for you is that Evra scored the final goal of the 2015-16 season in Serie A year for Juventus, which is, you know, he obviously wasn't scoring too many goals, but to get one that goes into the record books as the last goal that season, I think
not many goals for his career, is it? I mean, he's left back sometimes. He was never a set piece taker or something. It took a while for him to. I remember there was a while he hadn't scored a goal for Man United, and he scored, I think it was quite a special goal, wasn't it? A long range finish, I remember him scoring once.
A smashy long ranger in off the post, I think, like towards crossbar and post, and in off the sort of postage stamp area.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've got fond memories of Patrice Evra, a big fan. Big fan of Patrice Evra. I really love what he did for my club, and does seem like a very genuinely nice guy as well, which is good. But we've got to get from him, Josh, to your pick. So tell us about Ricardo Quaresma.
Ricardo Quaresma. I think we're all aware of him, and aware of him as a bit more of that kind of mercurial talent, that enigmatic talent, that a guy who is the Trivella, I think is his technique. He uses the outside of the right boot.
Yeah.
You would have probably seen him in highlight reels, and also a bit of a Rabona. I think mainly he likes to use his right foot. That seems to go, you could whip him with your left, or you could kick with your left. No, I'm using the outside of my right boot or my right boot.
Do you think he's more or less one-footed than Eric Lamella?
That's the exact guy who sprung into mind. I would say he's less one-footed. I think Lamella has since joined Sevilla and has scored a right-footed goal in his first few appearances. It's like, I'm not sure I've saw you use it in your Spurs career.
Yeah, but, unbelievable.
But I also think of Ricardo Quaresma as being like similar to Cristiano Ronaldo, both at Sporting as a young age, but one of them had the temperament and one of them had the and kept with the flair, didn't they? I think Sir Alex Ferguson thrashed out the flair out of Cristiano Ronaldo, and there was probably always the temperament there, whereas I think Quaresma just kept that throughout his career. So let's kind of delve into his career. We're going to kind of go through kind of a few seasons. So he started off with Sporting, joined the first team when he was 17, which was quite impressive. Won the league and cup in his first season. It's always a nice start to a career, isn't it? Takes that monkey off the back. Harry Kane will be jealous. A couple of seasons at Sporting, and then was sold to Barcelona as a 19-year-old in a cash plus player loan deal of Fabio Rochenbach of
Middlesbrough
fame. Yes,
yeah.
We had a good long shot on him. Yeah, I remember him scoring a long range free kick for Middlesbrough.
Nice. Yeah.
But Barcelona time wasn't great. I mean, he's quite young to move to Barcelona. A lot of pressure on his shoulders. Played a fair amount of games, 28 games. But fell out with manager at the time, Frank Rijkaard, vowing never to play again for Barcelona as long as he was here. So he was sold.
Normally the player doesn't last very long when they make that statement. Yeah.
So the first transfer was a player, a cash plus loan. This was a cash plus player. Deco moved from Porto to Barcelona. Quaresma moved to Porto. So I think Barcelona did all right out of that deal.
Yeah.
And spent kind of 4 years at Porto then, won league three times out of four seasons, won the cup, and also was named Player of the Year in one of his years, age 21. So a good grounding to his career there, back in Portugal, probably banishing the demons of Barcelona and go, right, what next? He moves to Inter Milan. Does he move to Inter Milan for straight cash? No, player as well moves. We have sold the cash plus player, a youth player called Pelé, who... It seems to be he was Portuguese, but I don't really recall it. It's but not quite the Deco standards, is it?
No, I was thinking Pelé, that he must have been really old by then.
Yeah.
So
yeah. So he has a couple of seasons at Inter, but in between that, much to maybe people's surprise, there was a loan to Chelsea. A little loan spell, because he wasn't going too well from Inter Milan, so he went to Chelsea for a little bit. A little half-season loan, I think it was. Only made a handful of appearances, four or five appearances in the league, I think it was.
That is not in my memory at all, that loan spell to Chelsea. I mean, what era of Chelsea is that? 08-09,
what do we have here?
That's Abramovich, isn't it?
Yeah, well, definitely Abramovich, yeah. Because at the time, Jose Mourinho was at Inter Milan.
Right, okay, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't actually go into it but he goes very little detail into it. So he moved across. He had a couple of appearances in the league and the cup. But in his Wikipedia page, it says it gave him confidence playing Inter. He wasn't playing at Inter. Playing at Chelsea gave him confidence. It brought joy back, which he didn't have at Inter. But I think Inter tried to offload him, but he goes back to Inter for what was their most successful season. This was their treble winning season. This is, in the Champions League final, Milito scoring two against by Munich, but he didn't really play that season. It was kind of 13 appearances all season, most of them in the league, so I'm not quite sure how a player would feel about that. You won the treble while you're at the club, you've played a bit, but does it really feel... I imagine he felt more with the Porto wins.
Yeah, probably, yeah. I mean, I would love it, but yeah, he probably felt a bit more respect for Porto. I did like that bit on his page when it was like, when he returned to Inter after the Chelsea loan, despite attempts made by the club to offload him, he inherited the number 7 shirt. Yes. From Luis Figo. Okay.
Yeah, Luis Figo, yeah, who people may also forget was Inter Milan because he had a little stint at Inter Milan, but he was ousted out the side. Goran Pandev was more favoured by Jose Mourinho at the time, and he was eventually left for Besiktas. So he straight cash transfer. Besiktas' time wasn't great for him. Played a lot, scored his joint most in the season, 11 goals in a season, but fell out with Nihat. Do you remember Nihat? I think he was at Villarreal for a little while.
West Ham had him Turkish... for a bit, didn't they? Nihat?
Did they? Ooh. Well, we can click on him if we want. We can't click on him. This is the wrong way in. This is a bookend.
Was he Brazilian, Nihat?
No, that was Nilmar.
Nilmar, yeah, I'm thinking of that. I'm thinking of Nilmar, sorry.
I might be thinking of Nilmar with Villarreal, actually.
Ooh.
Now we think about it.
There you go.
NI. So he fell out with Nihat, and he also fell out with the manager, a former Swansea manager, Carlos Carvalhal.
Oh, yeah, Carlos Carvalhal.
Yeah, it goes into a bit. There's a bit of a choice words were spoken when he got subbed off once, claiming that the manager was only there because Quaresma was there. So I imagine Quaresma may be a voice for the board at the time, suggesting managers, but that brought an end to it. And it's a bit of a rogue. So this is age 28. He moves to the Middle East, Al-Ahly. His contract was terminated and moved on. I think people knew at that time there was a player still there, so he only spent a season there, 11 appearances there, and he, you know, rejoined Porto. Second stint, wasn't successful, didn't win any leagues, any cups, and so spent a couple of years there. I mean, he was loved there. 10,000 fans greeted him, because obviously the last time he was there was league, yeah, player of the year and things like that. So I think they're probably looking, you know, player joining age 29,
got
maybe
prime.
His peak. Yeah. Didn't quite work out, but nothing ended too badly there. But he then rejoined Besiktas. Second stint at Besiktas now. Likes to tread on old ground. And this is where he said his aim was to win the league, and he did it. Back-to-back league titles.
Nice.
And that was the time he also was part of the Portuguese. So he's always been a presence in the Portuguese squad. And so he won the first league title in 15-16 season. At the end of it was Euro 2016. And he was actually a reasonably key part of it. Not necessarily a starter, but he scored the extra time winner to beat Croatia in the quarters, scored the winning penalty to beat, I can't remember if they played in the semis, it does say.
Who did
in
they?
The semi-finals, Poland in semis. And then he was a player who actually came on for Ronaldo.
Ooh.
Remember Ronaldo got the injury?
Yeah,
in final, and he was there, therefore, on the sidelines shouting away. Quaresma was actually the guy to come on. Didn't obviously, it wasn't him who scored the winner, Edo scored the winner, but you know, he played a key part in those final matches. So he had the Euro 2016 mantle, which we have mentioned. Patrice Evra was in the 2016 squad.
Yes, he was.
I doubt would have played in the final.
Well, he got a runners up medal.
Is that part just being part of the squad?
That's just
that,
being
though.
Part of the squad, though. Yeah, who would have been left back for France? Right, now we'll deal with that in a minute. Yeah, we'll have that conversation in a minute.
So then after that, you know, that was a good start to his Besiktas career. It was secondary time. Three more seasons at Besiktas, and he didn't win anything in his final two seasons. But liked Turkey, evidently. Moved to Kasımpaşa in Turkey, and then finally he's returned to Portugal now, and played for Vitória Guimarães, which I think is the same side where Marcus Edwards plays, a former Spurs youth player.
Who's actually very highly rated, isn't he? Marcus
Edwards. A tricky winger himself. So he's predominantly left-footed, and will always use left foot. So that might be quite fun to watch those two tearing it up.
Very interesting.
I mentioned the style of play section. Now, this is style of play and temperament. It's called.
Oh, okay. Linked together. Like it. Okay.
Yeah, there's an intrinsic link. So we have, you know, style of play. We have a winger who could play off either flank. His crossing ability, creativity, dribbling skills, technique and poise on the ball, combined with his qualities of speed and finesse, caused a regular problem for opposing defenders and also allowed him to create space for his teammates. Then we have the temperament. A highly promising player in his youth. His career was marked with inconsistency. Moreover, his work rate, mentality, tactical discipline and attitude were often brought into question by his managers and the media. And we even have a quote further up the page where it says Mourinho criticised him for his tactical discipline, would rather he was more like Ibrahimovic, who can work for the team rather than...
Wow.
Yeah. He says something along the lines of, he likes to kick it with the outside of his boot. But if you ask me about him in a few months' time, we'll be talking about a different Quaresma. Yeah, a Quaresma at Chelsea.
Okay, so interesting. Yeah, you don't normally get the style of play and temperament linked together, but I guess they do go hand
like
in hand.
They do go hand in hand, but it feels a little bit like a backhanded compliment, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But I mean, it does end pretty well. That's section on his page with the fact he's got more mature. Jonathan Liu of the Daily Telegraph commented that during Euro 2006, the players whose career was wildly believed to be over has the whole country in his hands. The veteran Quaresma is a more mature player these days, creative but reliable, unpredictable but disciplined. A man who never undo the past, was at least showing signs of learning, which is very nice.
Yeah, it's lovely. We have a personal life section. Media section's nice because it mentions he was one of the 39 players to earn a 5-star skill rating on FIFA 18. Thank you. And he also... Where's my Nike boots? Quaresma wore the Nike Mercurial Superfly of the 6 Elite football boots. Thank you.
That definitely feels like his agent's written that in and gone to, like, as part of the deal with Nike, you give us a little bit more money and I'll make sure his Wikipedia page always has this line in it, like, sort of thing. Yeah, interesting. Very interesting.
So we have a number of clubs. I mean, we have, you know, revisited clubs. We have Barcelona, Porto, Inter Milan, obviously play. We've used Inter Milan in previous podcasts. We can't use Inter Milan to get to Quaresma, but we have Serie A.
Yeah.
We have some honours. I don't think they've shared the pitch. Well, in finals, probably would have done previously, but Patrice Evra, where do you want to move off from Patrice Evra?
Patrice Evra, it's a very interesting one. There's a lot of, obviously, it's a big page. There's a lot of clickable links. I was very much drawn to, there's a clickable link for Bogdan Stanciu. Remember him, the player?
Yes, Romanian.
Yeah, Romanian, Bogdan Stanciu. There was a link for Sidney Govu?
He played for West Ham.
He did play for West Ham. Sidney Govu did play for West Ham.
And Monaco, yeah.
There's lots of links to different tournaments. There's lots of links to different countries. There's lots of links to different leagues. So I think we're going to have to think, you know, there's obviously the famous link to Luis Suarez with everything that happened around that.
There's
Edin Dzeko we could go and have a look at. We could go and look at a manager. Like Domenech is mentioned. Deschamps is mentioned. So we actually probably need to narrow it down to say, how do we think we can link to Quaresma relatively quick? Or is there something more specific we would want to go and look at and see if it can link to Quaresma in a strange way? Now, I'm very wary of the fact that I pick where we're going to go when I sort of get the choice. I pick quite randomly and get lucky sometimes, like last week where we got very lucky because I said, let's kick on Group of Death. And it took us to the fact that England
and
Nigeria.
Yes, you've also been less lucky in some.
And I've also been less lucky. I mean, there's a great player that I'd love to click on to know a bit more of, Philippe Cristanaval from Champ Manager 102 fame.
Oh, also
Barcelona.
Barcelona fame. Now, a Barcelona page is very unlikely to have any reference to Ricardo Quaresma.
Yeah, I would agree.
Unless there's a. Because Deco is more likely to have some mention, and maybe he'll be mentioned in passing of a swap deal.
Yeah, potentially. So yeah, there's quite a lot, Josh. I mean, is there anything that you're? I mean, as ever with all of these things, there's awards as well that are quite good to look at, like the UNFP Young Player of the Year award.
And he was do like that.
He's only the second defender since 1997, because the first was Philippe Cristanaval, to win the award, which is the Ligue 1 Best Young Player of the Year award. So
I like that.
We could look at that. There is the FIFA Pro Team of the Year. I think he's made it into that a couple of times as well. So yeah, I'm not too sure.
I'm not sure we need to. I think we can work. Well, actually, where would you get to Ricardo Quaresma? You're thinking it's going to be Portuguese squads. It's probably Euro 2016 is a good chance there.
Yeah, I mean, we could go straight to Euro 2016, but I'm loath to.
We need to end somewhere to get. We need to eventually get to that point, though, don't we?
Yes, yeah. And I think I'm loath to maybe click on Euro 2016 and rule out the whole tournament.
Very true.
I think there's other ways we can get to Ricardo Quaresma. I think the clubs could be a good way in. I think. Maybe if we can get to Porto, and then I think he'd have something on the Porto page. So, because he's been there twice, he's 10,000 fans welcomed him back, so he's going to be quite well known.
Yeah, we've
page.
Obviously got some cup finals. So we got the 2001-2 Portuguese Cup final. I'm wondering if there's going to be an overlap with Mario Jardel here. You know,
potentially,
because we've got Porto and Sporting. No, just you know. Information we can't use Mario Jardel, but I'm wondering if there is anything there. So we've got Portuguese Cup finals, which
Evra's not played in any of them, so
no. So yeah, okay, but I'm thinking, you know, if the next player we get onto, if we have something Portuguese around it, okay. But we've used Sporting as well, I think.
We have used club. Sporting Lisbon, yeah. We have used Sporting. The only big one we've got left is we've got Porto and Benfica, haven't we? I think left to use as the big clubs in Portugal. I mean, you got very excited by the fact we could click on the Young Player of the Year award.
I did. I think it gives me a variety of players to go for, so I think we go there. So he's got two awards in an individual page here. We've got for the Liga. So we've got the Young Player of the Year, and we can actually choose that specific year. Oh, and I think.
Oh, see, now I wasn't going to do that.
Just be him, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because I'm going to use. I was saying we use the link in his Monaco club career page, which is where it literally just states after the season, everyone was given the UNFP Young Player of the Year award. I was just going to click that link because I think that will be the overall award.
Okay, I say let's do it.
Okay, here we go.
Trophies. de football. Yeah. This is a beast of a page. So this has actually given us all the trophies given for the National Union of Professional Football Players to Ligue 1 and 2, as well as managers, referees. We've got Player of the Year, Young Player of the Year, Goalkeeper, Manager, Goal, Best French Player Playing Abroad, Team of the Year with pitches on. We've got the little men to repeat for Ligue 2. We've got the Women's Awards. We've got other awards. President of the Year. Crikey.
Referee of the Year. Trophy of Honour.
What's the special trophy? What's that? Special trophy?
Now, I just want to point out here, Josh, this is both wonderful and quite bad in the same instance, because it's wonderful because it's an absolute treasure trove of names and clubs and positions and everything you'd want about French football. It's also really bad because now we know that a link like that takes you to this page. We can never click on a French award ever again in this podcast.
It's very true.
It's interesting.
Well, let's have a little flick for us. So, Player of the Year, we've got some. David Ginola won the first award. We've got Ali Benabia, Sonny Anderson, Florin Malouda, Lisandro Lopez at Lyon. Yeah,
Paoletta.
Eden Hazard won a couple.
Eden Hazard, Ibrahimovic up there, Cavani, Neymar, and Mbappe.
Young Player of the Year, first award winner in 94 was Zinedine Zidane, Perez, Henri, Trezeguet. Philippe Christian Val won it. Sidney Govou, who we mentioned.
Jeremy
Toulalon. Who won it the year after Patrice Evra. It was very French heavy. The first non-Frenchman to win it was Eden Hazard in... Yeah. So Eden Hazard won the young player in 09 and 10, and then in 11-12 won the player. So he had a cracking 4 years, didn't he?
He did. He really
Mamadou
did.
Sakho, who is probably not revered that highly in England after his stints at Liverpool and Crystal Palace, won the Player of the Year in 2011.
Yeah.
Pre-money PSG, is that, I'm going to guess?
Yeah, that would have been pre-money PSG, I think. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Goalkeepers, we've now, got...
Ooh, I was just looking at this. Yeah. This Goalkeeper of the Year, and I know every single goalkeeper on that list other than 2007. Teddy Richert for Sochaux. Who on earth is that?
Teddy Richert for Sochaux, yes. Yeah.
French is better than mine. We know that.
I have no idea who that is.
Yeah.
Interesting. Manager of the Year, we have Christophe Gaultier won it for 2 years in a row. Well, it wasn't awarded in 2020 because of the COVID stop. A lot of Frenchmen. The non-Frenchmen for Manager of the Year are Eric Gerets, Belgian for Marseille. We have Carlo Ancelotti and Gaultier shared the award in 2013. Leonardo Jardim for Monaco and Unai Emery won it. Oh, Goal of the Year is where you get more variety, though, don't you?
Yeah. Sibierski, Ronaldinho, Drogba, Laurent Batel.
What front three?
Sorry?
What front three that
would
be?
Yeah, what? Yeah, exactly.
There's a weak link.
Yeah. Valbuena, Gorkouf, Niang, Beland, Ibrahimovic is there again, Depay, Malcolm for Bordeaux, Loic Remy in 2019 for Lille. That surprises me. Loic Remy was still going in 2019.
So this is where we have the pitches team year. So 2002-03, we have... Yeah, Gregory Coupe, Daniel van Buyten, who also had a stint at Man City. Philippe Mexès, ever-present Mexès, SCM, Benoit Predretti, I remember. Jerome Rotten, do you remember? Oh, that's it, the left and right there. Jerome Rotten and Ludovic Gulli of Monaco, wasn't it?
Yeah. That was cracking. Can you remember Shabani Nonda?
Shabani Nonda. Blackburn?
Yeah, Blackburn Rovers, yeah. That was incredible. Okay, now, Josh, I've got a question here. When we go to the next year in 2003-04, some people are in yellow. Does that mean they've been in
Second
it before?
Second time, yeah. So Coupe, okay. Julian Pedretti are in it, but yeah. So we have the new players. We have Juninho, Pernambucano's in there. Drogba. Morientes wins it. Monaco must have had another good year. Sebastian Scilacci, who had a time at Arsenal.
Scilacci.
Mario Yepes, who had a stint at, I want to say, Inter Milan as well. Mario Yepes had a stint at Inter Milan.
Oh, we can't use Inter Milan. Can't use Inter Milan. They're out.
Okay, I'm now looking to Portuguese. Many Portuguese people played in Portugal. Okay. Habib Bey went in 04-05, probably before he's moved to Newcastle.
Yeah. Pauleta's in there for Portuguese, by the way. The Portuguese striker, Pauleta. There won't be like, oh, your mate and mine, 2006-2007, Johan Elmander.
Early
reference to an early episode in the podcast. Go check that one out. That was good fun.
With Teddy Richert in goal.
Oh yeah, that was the year of Teddy Riche.
Not many Socho mentions there. We'll see if there's any other more Socho players. Then because that was in 2005-06, we have only three new players to it. Then it must be a new blood coming through. It must have almost is getting old and tired. So we have lots of new players coming through. Tay Taiwo come to England for a little bit?
Sorry, Josh, I just want to quickly say about that 2005-06, you say new blood coming through. I think you're right, but I think it's a case of a lot of those players that have won it previously have moved on in the peak of their careers. Maluda, Ribery, Abidal, Yepes, Chris.
Wiltord,
Janino Pernambucano went back to Brazil. Pauleta moved, I think, very recent, like quite soon after that. So yeah, maybe that was maybe a height of French football, 2005-2006, and a lot of people started realising they could get good talent for cheaper money sort of thing. But yeah, this is a treasure trove of names. It's absolutely
lovely. Yeah, this is
lovely.
Almost providing us with too many names. 09-10, Rod Fanny, right back.
Yeah, cracking name.
Yeah, great name.
Hugo Lloris, goalkeeper of the year 2009-10 for Lyon.
Yes, of course.
But in that year, Marouane Chamakh also got striker of the team of the year for Bordeaux. So,
yes, it does bring that award down somewhat.
not doing it too well. Yeah, but what do we think from this page, which lists pretty much any footballer we could ever want under the sun that's played in France, to Ricardo Quaresma? What are we thinking?
Okay, so we've got Turkey, I think, is a good route. A lot of these players may have moved on to Turkey at some point.
Yeah. But we need to have the knowledge, don't we, of when it's a similar stint at hopefully the same club, potentially. That would be a good link, wouldn't it, to be like...
I would like to think that Besiktas would have a mention to Quaresma, having won the league there in 15-16.
So do you think we should be looking for someone that we know has definitely played for Besiktas and then go to Besiktas and go in that way?
Maybe. It's a route, isn't it? We have... What other things do we have? We have... Yeah, the league, the cups in Portugal, but that's a real struggle, that one will be, because that's specific years of cups.
Yeah, this is... I mean, it's... You're right. There's so many names. It's going to be tough to actually narrow it down to a certain name and then understand where we're gonna get to from that and how we're gonna get there. Did Emmanuel Adebayor play for Besiktas, or have I just made that up?
No, he did play in Turkey though, wasn't it? Antalyaspor?
Yeah, I thought he played in Turkey.
Is he on the list, is he?
Well, this is a bit odd, right? Because there's team of the year. And then if you keep scrolling down and get past Manager of the Year, there's another Team of the Year section. And it's got different people in it.
This is League Two, isn't it?
Yeah, Emmanuel Adebayor.
Adebayor started his career and he was at Metz. This is another treasure trove. We've got some different players in here. Oh, my goodness.
Harita Ilunga. Oh,
that's West Ham as well, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, we're not trying to get to West Ham at all because we could have just got there through Patrice Evra.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Ronald Zubar. Is there a single Englishman on the list? There's not many Englishmen played in the league, are there?
Joe Cole did play there, but he didn't do very
well.
Joey
Barton. Tyrone Mears.
Yeah, true. Right, I feel like we could just look at this page all day and we're not going to get anywhere. So... Are we going down that route? Are we going to try and find someone that we think has moved to Besiktas, played for Besiktas?
Yes.
And then maybe mess it up because they actually haven't played at Besiktas?
Correct.
Okay. All right. So I think we're looking at a name in the 2000s, I think we've got to stick with, haven't we?
That's a good start.
Team of the year. I mean, team of the year only started in 2002, so we're definitely going to be in the 2000s for Ligue 1. So... Okay, Michael Essien. Did he ever play for Besiktas?
I don't think so, no.
But he did play for Chelsea, so there's a backup.
Yes, but what are you getting out of a Chelsea stint?
Habib
Bey, did he ever go to Turkey?
Well, if we're going to Turkey, we do have Adebayor. That's why I think we need to try and find someone with Besiktas. Morientes, did he ever play Turkey? Not that I can remember. Gael Givé.
Matthew Valbuena, did he ever go? Valbuena seems like a player who's kind of moved around a bit.
Yeah, I've got a... Why have I got a feeling that Valbuena did play in Turkey? That's... Yeah, that's going to bug me now. That could be the one.
I like Matthew Valbuena.
I like Valbuena as well. Good little...
Let's go Matthew Valbuena.
All right, Matthew Valbuena. Yeah, why not? So I'm going 2007-2008, right midfielder, team of the year in the French league, Matthew Valbuena. Matthew Valbuena, currently still playing, Josh. Professional footballer for Olympiacos at the moment. Attacking midfielder or winger? I think I remember him more as a winger, I think. Nippy winger. Very good, agile.
Yes, there's that famous picture. Search out of him because he's kind of playing a pass and leaning backwards. And I think maybe for France, and there's Fellaini stood tall, and the disparity of him looks very odd. He looks like he's a small child. I'll go and search out anyone. Yeah, Valbuena, and still playing. He's had an okay career. I mean, it's mentioned a lot in club career. We have a big section about amateur career, which I've not seen on a player's page.
No, yeah, it's normally just a early career, and that's it, isn't it? And then it's straight into the professional stuff. It's not
so
really.
So what does that take it? So that, well, because he started his career at Marseille in 2006 when he'd been 22. So yeah, that's why, maybe, because it's quite a late bloomer. I imagine there'll be lots of issues around his size.
Yes.
If the English football has anything to go with and go by.
Yes, I'd agree with that. I imagine his size was probably a thing that put people off signing him. But yeah, it's an interesting. I sort of want to read that amateur thing in a bit more detail, but I don't think we're going to get anything major out of that. Now, he has played in Turkey, Josh, but it was Fenerbahce, not Beşiktaş.
Fenerbahce, yeah, and it goes into such detail, because look at this section. On the 13th of June 2017, Valbuena was signed by Fenerbahce for €1.5 million, transfer fee, plus €1 million bonus for 3 seasons. Thanks.
And that's it. That's all we've got.
He
is currently playing. I just wanted to say this, Josh. He is currently playing for Olympiacos. And after Olympiacos went 2 goals down at home to Tottenham Hotspur in their first match of the Champions League group stage, Daniel Podent scored just before half time with Valbuena's assistance. And soon after the break, Jan Vertonghen fouled Valbuena for a penalty, which he himself converted to complete the comeback. Do you remember Valbuena getting an assist and winning a penalty and scoring a penalty?
Yeah, I do remember that. Oh. Yeah, I didn't need it mentioned. I remembered it already.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know that. So, yeah, I thought I'd just inform the listeners that, Spurs blew a 2-0 lead.
I'm not sure it ended that result, though.
Oh, really? You don't think it ended 2-2?
I might need to check that. I'm going to take that as an action. I feel like it may be being stretching for 2. I might be wrong.
Because if that is not correct, that does need changing, yeah. It's a complete...
Completely comeback, yeah, at the 60th minute, but how did it end?
Yeah, it's a complete comeback until Harry Kane scored to make it 3-2 or something, yeah. So, okay, interesting. He's recently extended his contract as well to the... Well, that year he extended it to the end of this year, or summer next year, when it will be. So, it should be quite interesting, actually, for him. I can't imagine him still playing. Yeah, bizarre.
Lovely little stint out. You seem to go to the warmer climes of Turkey and Greece. That seems to be a lovely little retirement place for players, which all credit to them.
Yeah, why not?
Some absolute talent playing out there, but at a slower pace.
Yeah, very, very true. But we came here hoping for Beşiktaş, and we haven't got it. So what's the thought? So, I mean, we've only sort of briefly gone over the whole section, so... There probably is some links in here. I'm quickly flashing around of what names are in blue, but what links are in blue. But what are you thinking if we can't get to Beşiktaş directly?
Maybe go to Turkey, the league in Turkey. I mean, just quickly, he has scored a goal against England. I always like to check that. Ooh. It lists the international goals. He's got 8 goals for France, and his second was at Wembley against England in a 2-0... Well, it doesn't actually say if it was a 2-0 win. Yes, it would have been 2-0 win. 2-1 win, sorry.
Nice. I just want to quickly point out, big fan, if you go up to the Marseille 2010 to 2014 section, that Marseille kit, which is all black with a little red, yellow and green stripe on one side.
You like that?
I like that kit, yeah. Big fan of that, because I imagine the numbers on the back will be in gold as well. No sponsor, always makes a kit immediately better.
I'm intrigued by why those colours are representative of Marseille. I'm not sure what the link is there.
Yeah, not sure, but I like it. Yeah, I like that kit. So if you want to get me a birthday or a Christmas present, try and find that kit in 2010 from Marseille.
Besiktas are mentioned.
Oh, okay.
Mentioned in the 2006-2010 season, so we have Besiktas. Now, the risk would be we may have to delve further in the depths there if Quaresma's not mentioned. He was part of a league-winning season, maybe.
Yeah, you'd think he'd get a bit of a fanfare of a signing as well, so they might have been a notable players or something, or like something like that. I you know.
Yeah, he spent a lot of time there, so let's quickly go back to Quaresma's page. We've got 108 appearances in his second stint and 46. So he's got over, in all comps, he's got over 200 appearances.
And there might be a section on the manager side of it where he fell out with the manager.
Yeah.
There could be a bit of that. We came here looking for Besiktas, and inadvertently we have found that link. So I think we have to click it. Do you want to dive into anything about Valbuena a little bit more, like stats or anything? I know you like looking at those things.
Stats? No, he's a kind of decent goal scorer, not much. I think he's more of a creator. He's always been quite a technical player. We've got a nice, lovely style of play section. Explosive players capable of taking two opponents out of the game to create space, above all due to his dribbling skills. I do find style of play wording sections are, I don't know, a little bit
strange.
Overdone. Yeah.
Yeah, overdone. Yeah, yeah. It's overly positive. It always is. It's overly positive and overly descriptive as well in the style of play sections. But maybe that's why we love them, Josh.
Maybe that's why we love them.
Yeah, okay. Nothing too stand out. I've got my little dig in about Spurs. So let's click on Besiktas.
Besiktas. Kicking K. Wow, I'm not going to try and pronounce what the J and the K stand for.
Well, the J is well easy, Josh. Gymnastic.
Wow, it is. It looks more daunting.
Yeah.
Gymnastics Columbu. There we go, done it.
It's basically Besiktas Gymnastics Club. So,
it is.
Yeah.
Like, I was so daunted by it. Formed in 1903. We have nicknames. Eagles and Black and Whites.
Black Eagles, like that. Big fan of the nickname Black Eagles, yeah. Acceptable.
Vodafone Park.
Yeah, I was going to say, have you seen it? The stadium looked quite good.
Negative.
I think I've seen it in an aerial shot on. It must have been a game of some sort or a coverage I was watching of a football match or highlights or something. But yeah, it looks like a pretty nice stadium if I remember rightly, the Vodafone Park. So it doesn't quite fit with the whole Turkishness of a Turkey football team, does it?
You'd want it to have. No, I was a bit upset seeing Vodafone listed there, if I'm honest.
Even the word park, you think should be, surely there's a Turkish equivalent of park. It shouldn't just be Vodafone Park. It's very westernised, isn't it, that? So,
yeah.
I did like the fact they've got the active departments of the Besiktas club, listing all the things they do. Athletics, boxing, esports, gymnastics, table tennis, rowing, wheelchair basketball, amongst others. Yeah, nice.
Excellent. And we've got, obviously, it's going to be an in-depth page. We've got the club's fan base, Carsey, is well known globally and Fresno's best fan group due to their 132 decibel noise recorded at a 2007 match against Liverpool FC. Yes, I think Turkey's quite renowned for having quite enthusiastic fans.
Yes, very, very enthusiastic atmospheres and things like that, I think, is common. It's common knowledge for Turkey, I think.
Yeah, I remember Spurs playing there in the, would have been the UEFA Cup with Berbatov playing. I think Berbatov scored a couple of goals, wasn't it? Silence that crowd.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Man United played at Besiktas? Have they overlapped Champions League and maybe not?
Probably, yeah. I think we have played them, but nothing jumps out to mind massively in terms of that.
Well, we're on a club page, so I'd like to go straight to current squad. What we got? Anyone who we know? Well, a couple of Canadians, strangely.
Okay.
Captain is Hutchinson, the captain. Yeah, I know him, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, Gökhan Töre, wasn't he a winger for Chelsea for a little while, a young player?
Yeah, Gökhan Töre, I think he was, yeah. Miljan Pjanic is there on loan from Barcelona.
Oh, yes, yeah. A few loans, maybe Batshuayi on loan from Chelsea.
Yeah. Alex Teixeira, I think, is from Shakhtar, a very famous quick striker.
Brazilian, yes.
Yeah. Vida, obviously Croatian defender, played in the Euros, game runner-up in the Euros.
Very much an international performer, isn't he?
Yeah, very much so. Very much so. George Kevin Nkudu is there, ex-Spurs.
He is ex-Spurs, yes. Yes, because he was one of the players to win a title before Harry Kane, having left Spurs, yeah.
Yeah. They've got some names, haven't they?
Oh, we have a notable player section.
Oh,
do we have anything of note for Ricardo Quaresma? No, there's a lot of Turkish players mentioned here. In fact, I think they're all Turkish players. So we have
apart from Vida, who gets a mention, and Perisic right at the end.
Oh yes, because they were part of the World Cup final.
Yeah. So yeah.
We have squads of a century, which is interesting.
It is interesting. So I want to know how they define gold, silver, and bronze. And I also want to know.
Yeah, there's a gold team, a silver team, a bronze team. There's only two players who aren't Turkish. Dave, who are they?
We have Ronaldo Guaro in the silver team at centre back. And then as a striker in the bronze team, we have Daniel Amakachi. Him of Everton fame.
Everton fame.
I'd like to know how those teams are picked. That's very interesting. Maybe it needs a sentence in it about what they each mean, and can people drop out and be replaced if someone's incredible?
You've added that to your list.
All right, I'll have that as an action. Note that one down, Josh, and we'll.
Of the century. We'll get to
that one. Yep.
Okay, but no mention of Quaresma thus far. We have one club men, Turkish. It's not disparaging. I just know that Quaresma's not Turkish.
Yeah.
Coaching history. Slaven Bilic has been there. Carlos Carvalhal, obviously mentioned, fell out with Quaresma.
Vincent Del Bosque has been there.
Oh yeah, John Tigana,
Burden Schuster,
John wow. Toshak can't go there.
Yeah, can't go there.
Nice.
Okay. Quite weirdly, quite a few English people have, like, in back in the history. Gordon Milne was there. Alfred Cable, whoever he is. Eric Keane. I bet he was keen to take on that job.
Very keen. Yeah. Okay, so nothing Quaresma yet. So, but we do have. Obviously, the honours section, where we know that Quaresma won the cup. There, let me just check my ready reckon, my little sheet there. So, in his 2010-11 season, he won the cup with Besiktas. They also won the... And now, I say cup because it's normally easier to get a list of players in a cup rather than a league win. You might just go to the full league that season.
Now, how's it listed on his page, Quaresma's page? Is it just listed as Turkish Cup? Because in their honours...
Yeah, Turkish Cup 10-11 it's called, yeah.
Okay, because in their honours, there's Turkish Cup, Turkish Super Cup, Atatürk Cup, and Prime Minister's Cup.
No, so. Let's be clear. Let's not go down the route of it. It's Turkish Cup, it's mentioned here.
Okay. Cool. So it'll be that 2010-2011 one, I guess. Oh, there it is. Look, next to that, there's the little photo of the cup. The photo of the 2006-2007 Turkish Cup won by Besiktas. I assume it's the same cup won over and over again.
This is great, Dave. I'm just checking Quaresma's page again. An integral part of the victorious run in the Turkish Cup, opening the scoring in the 33rd minute. So we know he's in the squad. He's now played. So we're on to a winner here. So
okay, good.
Turkish Cup.
So the 2010-11 Turkish Cup, Josh. It was the 49th edition.
I remember it well. Yeah.
The 49th edition of the annual tournament. Yep. Okay. That's a good way to describe it. It's a pretty... tabular pages, cup finals normally are. It talks you through it. Luckily, straight thing that jumped out at me, Josh. I didn't even need to scroll down. Top right hand corner, best player of the tournament, Ricardo Quaresma that year.
Lovely.
So it is done. We do know the links are done. 105 matches were played in the whole tournament, which is good. Besiktas won it for their 9th time. When they won it that year, the defending champions are Trabzonspor. The runners up were Istanbul Başakşehir. And the top goal scorer was Hugo Almeida with 4 goals. Now, that's a name that rings a bell, Hugo Almeida, about being around.
So, left-footed forward, wasn't he?
Left-footed forward, big guy, I think. Quite a big...
Big guy, yeah, quite powerful.
Yeah, powerful forward, yeah.
Werder Bremen. Do you know who I realised playing up front together the other day?
In
Brazil. Thinking of powerful left-footed forwards.
Adriano.
Hulk is playing his strike partner, Diego Costa.
No way. That's a brutal front two to be playing against.
It's a brutal front two, yeah. God, enjoy centre backs.
Nice. Yeah, good times. But so we know we've got the link to Ricardo Quaresma. So is there anything else you wanted to look at about the Turkish Cup while we're here?
No, I like to go down to the final because it's got a little bit of information because we have penalties. So yeah, Quaresma opened the scoring, but then they... Istanbul drew level. I don't know that player. I think it says Ibrahim. They actually went 2-1 up. Then Sivok. Oh, I remember him. Was it Thomas Sivok, maybe? He was sent...
Czech Republic?
Czech Republic. Yeah. But then we go to penalties. Almeida, Fernandez. There's too many Fernandezes. Aurelio. That's not Fabio Aurelio.
That's Fabio Aurelio, yeah. I think that is Fabio Aurelio.
No. Hilbert, Mr. Penalty, then Simão. That might be Simão Sabrosa of Portuguese fame as well.
Portugal's right winger. Portuguese right winger, yeah. Simão. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Nice. Nice. I mean, to be honest, Josh, you can't move for Ricardo Quaresma. He scored in the final. He was man of the match in the final. He was the player of the tournament. Can't move for him. He's everywhere.
Good stint. Yeah, and that was in his first season there.
Yeah. So he clearly did well. But all the way to penalties, Istanbul Başakşehir. Now, in my mind, Istanbul Başakşehir, which I think I'm nailing the name, I'm going to stick with it. In my mind, they've sort of come out of nowhere, but they obviously have been around in Turkish football for a while, doing reasonably successful to get to a final in 2010, 2011.
Yeah, because it was about the big three, wasn't it? Beşiktaş, Galatasaray, Fenerbahçe. And I need to probably have a look, actually, for my information, who's the top dog in that. I think it's Galatasaray, because they were... I would say Galatasaray, Fenerbahçe, Beşiktaş. If you go, you're ranking league titles or something like that, I'd say that's the order. I'm not sure what your thoughts.
Yeah, I'd probably agree. I think Galatasaray would be out on top, then Fenerbahçe, then Beşiktaş. But we could be very wrong. I'd be interested. I mean, I will admit, Turkish football is not one I keep up with very regularly. I'm interested to know, because there are now more... You hear about more teams from Turkey. You're Istanbul, Başakşehir. You've got Antalyaspor that have been signing up a few people. You've still got Beşiktaş, Fenerbahçe, Galatasaray. I feel like there's another big one. Gelkenbergi get into the Conference League and Europa League, I think, a fair bit.
The big European competitions, correct, yeah.
So, yeah, it'd be interesting to see if the sort of... Trabzonspor, that's another one. Trabzonspor.
Where Kevin Campbell once transferred to.
He did, yeah, he did. To see if, like, the apple cart has been turned over or anything, and one of those has maybe crashed into the big three, like, in a consistent basis or something like that. Just I'll take that. I'm going to have a look at that, because that'll interest me. So, but I've not really got much else to talk about for the 2010.
No, I think we should probably complete the loop and click on Ricardo Quaresma. According to it's linked properly. There he is. With his clean haircut. Excellent. Well done, Dave.
Yeah, well done, Josh.
Well, we started with Patrice Evra, and we saw that he had won the Ligue 1 Player of the Year. So we clicked on that link, and we were met with all of the awards for Ligue 1 and Ligue 2 and whatever you want in France, every award in France. But we saw a little Matthew Valbuena there who tickled our fancy, and we thought, oh, he's played for Beşiktaş, like Ricardo Quaresma. Alas, he had not, but he had played for Fenerbahçe. He'd also made his debut against Beşiktaş in the Champions League. So we had a Beşiktaş link. We clicked on Beşiktaş, and on there, no mention of Quaresma again, but there was their honours, and we knew that Quaresma had appeared in the 2010-2011 Turkish Cup final. We clicked on it. He's the best man. He's the key guy mentioned numerously. We then clicked through to Ricardo Quaresma. Loop completed. Thank you very much.
It was very well done. I feel like we've learned quite a lot on that one as well. I'm quite happy with that. Things that we didn't realise were going to click on.
But no journey is complete with some actions along the way. So I will take on the action to check Olympiacos versus Spurs. Is it quite right in the wording? Did he complete the comeback, Valbuena, or did Spurs reign superior? The squad of a century. Dave is going to have a look at why is it the squad of a century? And is it a rolling squad of a century? Does the years get knocked off? And maybe why is Damian Amakachi on there? And also, Dave would like to learn a little bit about Turkey and the giants in Turkish football. Just, you know, just give us some more information next week around who is the top dog.
It does bring an end to this week's podcast, Josh, and they've always got to end at some point, and it's always at a point that we pick, and we just have to see how we get there. But thank you so much for listening. Feel free to send in your recommendations or suggestions for where you'd like us to start, finish, or potentially a whole journey that you'd like us to get through from start to end. But you can find us on Twitter at WikiWanderers and on Instagram as well at WikipediaWanderers. So thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.